Fantastic. Now, quick show of hands if you're at least a little bit anxious, maybe about having conversations. Yeah, a little bit anxious. Yeah, no, put your hands up. I can see some nods. I can see some eyebrow raising, good contextualization, good job. Okay, all of us, it's a little bit tentative. Doing this type of stuff in your own country can be a little bit scary. Doing this stuff in another country, there's a sense in which it can be easier because you've got nothing to lose, but there's also a sense in which it's harder. There's a whole bunch of different cultural distinctives, language barriers, other little customs that you just don't get, words and lingo that you use that is not going to be understood. And so there's a whole bunch of factors that you're going to want to be thinking through. As I've thought about it, we don't need to every single person that we catch up with have some gospel conversation where they become a Christian, they start crying and they pray the sinner's prayer. Like, that doesn't have to be the aim of every single conversation. I don't think it would be realistic to even presume that that would happen as we come across here. So I've come up with three E's of things that I think we can aim to do in all of our conversations, at least one of them, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. As far as I know, 100% more or less of the population claim to be Christian. Is that more or less? They'll at least tick the box on a census that they're Christian and their families are Christian. We know that they're not all Christian. We know that not everyone who confesses the name of Jesus, the words, is necessarily a Christian, necessarily believes it in their heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead. But there's a sense in which if someone does claim to be a Christian, we don't automatically assume that this is the person that isn't one. Does that make sense? So we know that everyone more or less claims to be Christian, but we know that not everyone is Christian. But don't assume that every single person you meet is the one who's not a Christian. I reckon it's safer to think, here is a Christian who I can encourage. And so there's the first E, is encourage. I'll give you the three E's straight up. The first E is encourage. Encourage. Got that one? Write that one down. That's important. Encourage. The second one is empathize. Empathize. And the third one is evangelize. You like that? You like my eyes? Pretty impressive. Quickly grab Hebrews chapter 10 open. Encourage eyes. And I think, as Ali just said, some of this stuff is some good principles for life in Australia and ministry in Australia and being a Christian and being bold as a Christian in Australia. So apply it today, apply it tomorrow, apply it for the rest of the week, but apply it when you get back to Australia. Apply it wherever you're going to go do a job or study or live next year, whatever you might be doing. These are good things to apply. So number one, encourage eyes. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24, the context of Hebrews, I don't know if you've read it before, the book has been written to a bunch of Christians, Jewish Christians. What does that mean? They're people who from their families are Jewish, but they've become Christian. The big temptation of these particular people is to go, they've become Christian, but the temptation is to go back to the Old Covenant, to go back to the Old Testament, to go back to sacrifices, to go back to the old religion. And so the message of Hebrews is, no, don't go back. Keep going in Jesus. The message is, keep trusting Jesus. Keep living for Jesus. And so these are some really key verses here in verse 24 and 25 that encourage them to do this. So check it out. Chapter 10, verse 24, 25. Who wants to read it? Big voice. Fantastic, isn't it? There's some great, great stuff in there about encouraging each other. And how cool is it that we're in Vanuatu where there's people that we've never met before who also call on the name of Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, who are also seeking to live for Jesus, who are also seeking to be changed for Jesus. And so I reckon one of the first things that we want to be thinking about how we can be a blessing to other people here, how we can encourage Christians, how we can encourage them in their walk with Jesus. How we can encourage them to keep living for Jesus, how we can encourage them to keep being joyful in Jesus. And so what I might get you to quickly do is turn to the person beside you, groups of two or three, whatever. How could you make a conversation become an encouraging one to encourage someone to keep living for Jesus? Got it? Does that make sense? Just try to brainstorm a couple of ideas. I don't have a whole list or anything like that. You're going to come up with that whole list. You've got about 30 seconds to a minute. How could you have about a minute or so. How could you have a conversation where you seek to encourage someone who's a Christian to keep living for Jesus. Got it? Got it? Get it? Got it? Good. Sweet. Go!
It's Janelle, right?
Encouragement. I can hear great answers, but another 30 seconds, finish them up. Ten seconds. Five. Two, one, zero. Okay, what do you got? What do you got? I heard some great ones in the murmurings. Make sure you speak up with a big loud voice so we can hear as the wind carries our voices. What did you come up with? Aim is to encourage Christians to keep living for Jesus, encourage them, bless them, all those type of things. What do you got? Go. Don't be shy.
Try and find some common ground.
Good one. How would you do that? Common ground.
Ask questions about it.
Yeah, good one. Show interest. Yeah, yeah, good one. What was that?
Oh, that was just contributing.
Yeah, ask what they do on weekends and stuff. Yep, yep, yep. So work out some type of common ground. You might find out where their church is, if they go to what church they're at and whatnot. Yep. Not that you'll know where the heck it is, but you can try. I know Pango Point. Is it near there? Is it near the sea? What else? Yeah, I love that. That's really good. Sharing from personal experience. And so one of the ways we encourage each other is we share how we have been encouraged. And so it might be your testimony. That might be an encouragement to someone. It might be, man, 2 years ago, you turned your back on God and you've come back and you're just really excited to be back hanging out with God's people. You're really excited to be reading the Bible, really excited, whatever it might be. That's a really good one. What else? Any more?
Pray for them.
Go on. Pray for them. I'll talk.
So, what's that? No, that's fine.
Yeah.
And tell them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Tell them you're going to pray for them. I'll talk more about that one in the next one, in the empathize one, but that's a really, really good one. That's a really encouraging thing nonetheless. Yeah. Oh, what else?
What's that? Oh, we're only on the first day.
Yeah.
Oh, like if they ask you like, oh, it's good that you're on holidays, like you can be like, oh, yeah, God's really blessed me, so like, just like, try to work God.
Yeah, that's really good. Like, that's the whole God talk thing. I don't know if you've heard that terminology before, where you're just overflowing in bringing God into things and being thankful. I think that springs out from a thankful heart. If you're overwhelmed with thankfulness to God, when you're talking with Christians and maybe even non-Christians, it's okay to say, I'm really thankful. God has really blessed us in the opportunity we have to come away here. How's God blessed you? Might be. Yeah. Anything else? Anything else? Three. Well, there's encourage. Encourage eyes. And I reckon that's a good starting point. And one of the things you might want to do is, you might work out as you're trying to encourage someone, you might actually work out that they don't, there might be things that just seem to be missing and they may not really know stuff about Jesus, and that might well lead to opportunities in the evangelize section, which we'll get to in a moment, to actually talk about, hey, do you mind if I explain just the basic news of the good news of Jesus from the Bible? That could be a good thing to do. So there's encourage eyes. Let me encourage you to do that. to be an encouragement, to use your words to build up, to encourage them on toward love and good deeds. All those types of things are really, really good things. There's the first thing, encourage. The second one, empathize. I can't even say it. Empathize. I think this is in any context, but this is particularly if we're going to be going into hospitals. You need to be good at listening. You need to be good at understanding that people are in certain situations that aren't necessarily good, and empathize with them, listen to them, talk with them, hear what they've got to say, and pray with them. That's culturally an okay thing to do, actually pray with, not just pray after.
Yeah, you ask them if it's okay if you pray with them. That's fine. Probably don't touch them as you're praying, depending
okay.
on what denomination you come from. Probably better to just not do that.
So no touchies when you're praying. No, that's really, really helpful. These are all good tips, so make sure you keep listening to these, maybe even noting some of those things down. They're very handy. Pray with people. I'll quickly, 30 seconds to a minute again. How would you go about that? Let's say that someone's really sick, whatever their sickness is, maybe they're going to be sick forever, maybe they're going to be better in a couple of months, I don't know. Just quickly talk about how would you go about empathizing, listening, and then leading into, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? Just talk about that. Go. Very quick, 30 seconds to a minute. Go.
Yeah, so don't jump in. Let them talk.
Yeah. Do you think you would ask them,
okay, we'll wrap it up there. What'd you come up with? I heard some good stuff. Share it.
Spending time.
Good one. Time.
Yeah, so just hanging out with them and building a relationship and just, listening to their story. And, yeah, just making an effort to give them company.
Time's huge. Yeah. Opportunity cost. Yeah, use it. Yeah, sorry, that's a joke from before. Give them time. Like, from the hospital stuff I've done in Australia, I've mainly done older people, but I think they're overwhelmed that people would take time out to come and visit them, to come and listen to them. Yeah, that's a huge thing. So time is significant. And in line with that is listening, as you're with them. It's not all about you. It's okay to talk. It's okay to encourage them. It's okay to talk about stuff, but be one who's got big ears and a big shoulder. We're called to cry, we're called to mourn with those who mourn, joyful with those who are joyful. Yeah. Anything else?
That body language and facial expressions, make sure you appear interested as well as just sitting there and letting them talk.
Yeah, so being genuine in the way you respond with your body, that's really helpful. What are there any ways that you know of that are unhelpful with body language?
The eye
yep.
contact and that, not really. I think it's being pretty open. Just remembering that they're really shy. So what we interpret, how we interpret body language is different. So if someone's just sitting there silently, not looking you in the eyes, in Australia that would mean that they don't want to talk to you, but that doesn't necessarily mean that here. They could be loving it, but they're just really shy and are showing respect and that. And so them not speaking doesn't mean that they don't want to speak to you. So it is actually a bit tough to tell whether someone does actually want you to get lost or not, but I haven't come across anyone that has actually not wanted to have a conversation in anything that we've done.
I've had the opposite. No one wants to talk to me now.
Yeah.
So. They spend so much time stopping and talking.
Yeah.
It's just a really big part of the
stopping. Yeah.
prioritize it over heaps of other things, like pretty much anything.
Yep.
Good to have stuff in the chat.
I guess something else with the hospitals and our body language is the hospitals here aren't like hospitals back home. You know, when you walk into a hospital in Australia and you get that smell of disinfectant and that real hospital sanitised smell, it's the opposite smell, whatever that is. It's not like a clean, sanitary, white place. And so I guess not having a look of horror on your face if you see, you know, if there's a little kid that's got a burnt face or something, you know, not just staring at it or touching it or you know, just going, oh, it looks so bad, it looks like it hurts so much or something like that's probably
yes,
not
does.
Going to be that helpful. So I guess just be prepared. If you picture in your mind the worst possible situation, then you'll either get that or something better rather than picturing, you know, a lovely white room clean and clear, because it's not. Like, doctors don't even work on weekends. Yeah, so it's a different situation.
Anything else quickly? I'll get you to quickly turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is really cool stuff, 2 Corinthians 1. By all means, go and read the whole thing later. It's a good book. But let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Oh no, I can't get someone else to do it. Big loud voice.
Yep. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that... Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God.
Fantastic. Go first 5 as well.
But just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows.
How cool is that stuff? You just get this great picture of we are those who have been forgiven by God much. We've been comforted in our affliction, and those of us who have now been comforted are to be a comfort to other people. So there's the picture we're going for with empathize, is we're seeking to be an encouragement to other people in their hard times, whatever they might be. Pray with them. And can I suggest, when you pray with them, I reckon pray gospel-centered prayers. So you pray that God would be with them, you pray that God would protect them, you pray that God would heal them, you pray that they'd be comforted, and you pray that ultimately that God would enable them to keep trusting Jesus. Stuff like that is really good gospel-centered stuff. And so even if you don't have an opportunity to really talk about what the gospel is, it's an opportunity to, I guess, share it through praying for them. Number 1, encourage. Number 2, empathize. And number 3, evangelize. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Were you at the front when I said that? Okay, 1 Peter is written to a bunch of Christians who are scattered throughout Asia, and they're described as aliens and strangers in the world. And so 1 Peter, I guess, is how to live as an alien and as a stranger in the world. And if you don't feel like an alien or stranger in Sydney or New South Wales or wherever it is you live, my guess is you're more likely to feel like an alien and more likely to feel like a stranger, a foreigner, when you're in Vanuatu. And so there's a sense in which 1 Peter's a great book for us to read, in particular as we think about being part of ministry here. But can I get someone to read chapter 3? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Nice loud voice.
All right.
Thank you.
But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Fantastic. You got the point there. There's a great picture of sharing the gospel and making the most of opportunities that you're given. When people ask you, I think also when you take opportunities. And there's also a great picture of the mode and the manner in which you do that. See the last couple of words there, with gentleness and respect. That means we don't go in there with like machetes in one hand and Bibles in the other and beating people up, saying repent or die, bang, you're dead. That's not how we do evangelism. We do it with gentleness. We do it with respect. We respect the culture in which we've come into. We respect where people are at and all those types of things. But we want to be making the most of opportunities to talk about Jesus. And I believe in Ephesians 3:20-21, which says God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, which means I reckon we pray that through our time here, I reckon we're going to be changed through it. But I reckon we pray that others would be changed, and we pray that people might even become Christian through our visit here. Whether they become a Christian there in front of us, or whether they become a Christian in subsequent weeks or through going to a church as a result of our visit here, wouldn't that be a good thing? That through us being able to talk about Jesus, people would be able to become Christian. What a good way to spend your schoolies week. Some go and waste a week in a big, big way. You guys are coming to do something quite profound, so it's really good that you're here. As we think about evangelizing, do people have heard that word before? Evangelizing comes from the word evangel, which is the word good news, gospel, basically. So evangelism is gospelism, good newsism, good news in, sharing the good news of Jesus. That's what evangelism is, if you haven't heard that word or properly understood that word before. And so as we think about evangelism, we've got a number of tools. Now, we got any tools here with us now? Send that one round. I saw that one when it came out, but that was a while ago. So grab one of those tools. What I want you to think through is how to make the most of conversations. And this might be with kids. This might be with people a little bit older. This might be with even old people. Who knows who it might be with? These ones in particular are good for explaining the gospel with kids, I think, if I'm right. Yep. Here they come. Thank you. They grab it out, have a bit of a look at it. This is fantastic. What are the colours? Is this the Jesus bead one?
No,
not quite.
They just happen to be cool colours.
There's a bunch of different tools that I'm going to quickly go through. We're not going to do them at length or anything like that, but different tools that I think you can use that would be helpful for talking about Jesus. Now, people are familiar with the Jesus beads one. That's the colour, the rainbow colour thing you're making at the moment. So that's the green, black, red, white, and yellow. Who's familiar with that one? Show of hands if you're familiar with that one. That's a really good one because you're going to have the bracelet. The way that works is, what is green? Shout it out.
Creation.
God made us. And he made us be in relationship with him. He made us. It's good. His creation was very good. Where could you go in the Bible to talk about that? Regardless of whether you go there with someone, what in your head is in the back of your head? Genesis 1:1 is a good place. God made everything. Yeah. Colossians 1 verse 16. What's that say? All things were made by Jesus and for Jesus. There's creation there. So there's the green bead. What's the black bead? Sin. What is that all about? Rejection of God. Where would you go in the Bible? What verses?
Romans 3.
Romans 3. What does it say in Romans 3?
All short.
Yeah, yeah.
God,
yep. Yep, that's two verses pulled together. Beautiful. Romans 3, 10 to 12 and Romans 3, 23. Good one. Write those down. Romans 3, 10 to 12. Romans 3, 23. Yep, that's the black one. And so what's green? Green is that God made us. Made us to be in relationship, but because we sin, because we don't always do the thing God's want, we don't always do the things God wants us to do, and we do things that God doesn't want us to do. You got the two sides of sin there. There's the sins of omission, that is not doing what God wants us to do, and sins of commission, that is committing sins, doing the things that God doesn't want us to do. Because of sin, we can't know God. We can't be friends with God. And the Bible actually says that those who sin deserve judgment. But then comes along the next coloured bead, which is? Shout it out.
Red.
What's the red one about?
Blood.
Whose blood?
Blood?
Why was Jesus' blood shed?
He died for us to take away our sin.
Yeah, so Jesus, and check Jesus out, he didn't sin. And so when Jesus dies on the cross, he actually dies in our place for our sins, and he does it so that we can actually be forgiven. He does it in our place so that we don't have to suffer that punishment. What's the next one? White, what's the white one all about?
Us being clean.
Us being clean, yeah. Cleansing, purification. A good place there to go would be 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thanks for that. Helped me in the middle there where I started to choke a little bit. So through Jesus' death, we can actually be forgiven. We can be cleansed. And then what's the gold one at the end? Shout it out. Heaven, eternal life. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son will have eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So there's the picture of this eternal life. You've also got pictures in Revelation. You've got pictures in John 14. There's a whole bunch of places you could go to talk about heaven and eternal relationship with God. There's the Jesus speech. That could be a really good one to do. If you're not familiar with that one, either learn it, find someone who does know. Who's confident in using that one? Ish. Confident-ish. Put your hand up. It's okay to be confident. Yeah, good. There's enough of us here that if you like that one, you can actually ask someone to show it to you with their bracelet, and that'd be a really cool thing that you could do with people. Are people familiar with the Jesus Bridge? I love the Jesus Bridge, and I've been told by Ali, I think it was Ali, was telling me, pictures are cool. Is that right?
Yeah, so part of the Vanuatu, the tribal culture, so that there's still sort of tribes and a chief system that exists. They pass on the stories of kind of like their religion, I guess, of how the world came to be and all the different tribes that are represented by different animals. Often they're told through drawing pictures. So like in Scotland, the different clans have different tartans. Here the different tribes have different animals, so there's turtles and things like that. So they've got cool designs that explain different bits and pieces. So
this is called turtle evangelism. No, this isn't a turtle. That's really cool. Are you familiar with the Jesus Bridge? It's been called a whole bunch of things. I like to call it the Jesus Bridge. Let me quickly do it. It's a really easy one. And
do you want me to hold it up?
Ah, it's okay. Okay, can everyone see that? Okay. This is us. This is God. Now, we're a long way from God. And something's come... I'll start again. You start with God and you say God is holy, God is good, God is righteous, God is, you don't need to use all those words necessarily, God is good. He's a good God. But people are not good. We're not good. We don't always do the things that God tells us to do. In fact, something has come between us and God, and that's sin. And so because sin comes between us and God, there's this big chasm between us and God, which means we can't get to God. No matter what we do, no matter the things we say, no matter what we try and do, we can't get to God. And so what Jesus does is Jesus actually comes along. Check this, kids. This is crazy. Huh? Jesus actually comes along, and when Jesus dies on the cross, you can draw a cross there, he does it in our place. He does it for our sin, and he does it so that we can be brought back to God. We can be brought from being not in relationship to God to being brought back into relationship with God. And then you could maybe talk about... there's a bit of an arrow. Belief is a good thing to talk about at that point. Again, John 3:36 is a good one. But if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in the Son, you'll have eternal life. 1 Peter 3:18 talks about how Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And so there's this picture of being brought to God through the death of Jesus on the cross. People seen that one? People familiar with that one? Who would be confident to draw that with someone? Enough people? Okay, if you haven't yet, you put your hand up to be confident for any of these. Keep looking at the people who have been confident, and you can go and get them to show you a little bit later on. Likewise, I'm happy to show you as well. There's another one. That one's called the Jesus Bridge. Are people familiar with Two Ways to Live? I'm not going to go through it, but if you know Two Ways to Live, that'd be a cool one again, because you can draw the pictures. That'd be a really cool thing to do. There's another one called, I call it the Jesus Story. Some people call it a testimony. I like to call it a Jesus Story because it's not actually about me. It's not my story. It's about how Jesus' story has impacted my story. So it is about me. I do talk about myself, but ultimately I want to talk about Jesus. So if you have a testimony, if you're a Christian, talk about Jesus. Talk about your Jesus story. Just say, look, I've grown up in a family that loves Jesus and it's really cool. And when I was 14, it all really made sense for me and I said, I want to keep being a Christian. Or it might be that you're not from a Christian family and you can actually say, look, I grew up in a family that were like this, this and this. And when I was 15, I went to a camp and I heard about Jesus. I understood that he died on the cross for me. I understood that whatever it might be. And now I've decided to follow Jesus and my life's changed because of it. But it's all about Jesus, your Jesus story. It's about how his story impacts on your story. And ultimately, it's about him. Very quickly, we'll talk about this in just a moment as I get a chance to quickly look at it. Bruce is going to do it. Is that what you just said? That's awesome. Before Bruce does that, there's another thing I call one-verse evangelism. I reckon one-verse evangelism is cool. Lots of the things that we've just talked about, so the Jesus Bridge, the Jesus Beads, Two Ways to Live, they all use about 2,000 different Bible verses. In a conversation, it might be a bit tricky to actually say, let me show you 60 verses from the Bible so you can or 6 verses is even a lot to show. And so it might be that you might only have a couple of minutes just to share from one verse and explain something of the good news of Jesus from one verse. Very quickly, turn to the person beside you, literally 30 seconds. What verses are good where you can... I'm not saying that verse has everything you need to know about Jesus in it, but what are a couple of verses that you could have up your sleeve? They might be memory verses you remember from when you were a kid, memory verses from Cole Buchanan songs, just verses that you know really well. You've got 30 seconds, and we're going to try to come up with a list very quickly. Go! Okay, what do you got? What do you got?
John
3:16. If you don't know that one, you shouldn't be on this camp. No, sorry. If you don't know that one, learn it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world.
1 Peter 3:18.
1 Peter 3:18. I've already mentioned that one. Good one.
Romans 6:23.
Romans 6:23. What is it?
The wages of sin is death.
But. Amen. Amen. What else? What else? What else? These are all good. I'd be writing these down. What was that one? That was chapter 6, verse 23 of Romans. Yep. What was that one? Tell us it. Yeah, good one. John 10:10. Anything else?
Isaiah 53:6.
Beautiful. Isaiah 53:6. You can do the Isaiah 53:6 rap. Do you
want to...
We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There you go. Isaiah 53:6. Let me give you a couple more. 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:10. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. John 3:16 said it. John 3:36 said it before. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of my favorites. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's one that you can draw a diagram for as well. And here's probably one of my favorites. This is Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's a bunch of one-verse evangelism verses that you can use. Before I hand back over to Bruce to tell you a little bit about this tool as well, let me encourage you to be one who's an encouragizer, an empathizer, an evangelizer. How cool is that? And pray about it as well. So, Bruce, go for it.